Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. I will be talking to you today about my dissertation research on the endangered Miami blue butterfly, and specifically on the population structure and genetic variability in this butterfly. So this is an endemic Lycaenid, endemic to the state of Florida. It's a little butterfly with a very big scientific name. It's Cyclargus thomasi Bethune-Bakeri, which is quite a mouthful for such a small butterfly. It was once very common and widespread in the southern portion of Florida, being found in 16 coastal counties, very common in the 60s and 70s. And about that time, and then leading into the early 80s, many amateur collectors and local naturalists noticed that population hotspots were starting to disappear. And in the 90s, we thought we had lost this species actually to the state forever, with no new populations discovered and no old populations were able to be found again. The nice part of this story, however, is in November of 1999, a naturalist rediscovered a small population of butterflies in the lower Florida Keys on an island called Bahia Honda State Park. Subsequent surveys of both mainland Florida and surrounding islands, though, did not turn up any additional populations of the butterfly. So because of the presence of this butterfly at a single site, it is currently listed as a Florida state endangered species, and it is a candidate for federal listing at the present time. So because of its presence at a single site, as well as low population numbers, the population numbers really are only between 50 and about 150 individuals at Bahia Honda State Park at any given time. Due to both of these factors, state and federal agencies have stepped in, and in conjunction with researchers at the McGuire Center for Lepidoptera and Biodiversity, which is at the Florida Museum of Natural History in Gainesville, Florida, we've decided to create a captive colony of butterflies. So in November of 2003, we collected 100 eggs from the Bahia Honda State Park population and created this captive colony. Now over time, we have removed additional specimens from Bahia Honda State Park to add to the genetic variability of our captive colony, and we have kept this colony going over time since 2003. And here you can see how we keep some of the butterflies in colony. We allow them to mate, we collect the eggs, and then raise them on their host plant, which we also have in extensive greenhouses. And on the bottom right, you can see an adult butterfly nectaring on an artificial nectar source, which is actually Gatorade. So in keeping this captive colony, we're very concerned about the genetic management of this group. We're concerned about things that happen in small populations like genetic drift and inbreeding. So because of these factors, we've come up with a series of questions to answer. First, we'd like to know whether this captive colony is genetically similar from year to year. Because we have this colony to preserve and protect the last colony in Bahia Honda, we want to make sure that we're doing a good job of keeping our genetic stock safe. We also use the captive colony to produce individuals that'll be suitable for reintroduction into areas of South Florida. So we want to make sure that the stock that we're producing is genetically similar from year to year. We also want to make sure that we are effectively capturing all of the genetic diversity from the Bahia Honda State Park population and preserving it in our captive colony. Then we want to see how gene flow and natural processes are occurring on the island of Bahia Honda itself and how gene flow occurs there. And then lastly, how that Bahia Honda population has changed over time. So taken all together, we use all these questions to address bigger issues of conservation, genetics, and management, and hope to learn some lessons that we can apply to other species and other projects. So when working with an endangered species, we have to be extremely careful that as we're studying it, we're not actually damaging the population further. So it's been a challenge to develop a protocol whereby we can remove just a very small amount of material from living butterflies that does not adversely affect them. So I've developed a protocol where we can remove a small 2-millimeter wing fragment from the hind wing of the butterflies, and I'm able to extract enough DNA from that for downstream level analyses. I've seen butterflies mating, courting, and acting quite normally within 5 minutes of the removal of a wing fragment, and so we believe that this does not adversely affect their behavior. So from this fragment, I'm able to extract DNA and then move on to a PCR-based amplification of 12 polymorphic microsatellite loci, and I've created 4 microsatellite libraries enriched for both di, tri, and tetranucleotide repeats, and after extensive sequencing of clones containing microsatellite sequences and designing primers and optimizing conditions, we have settled on 12 polymorphic, meaning informative, microsatellite sites. And all of these loci contain between 4 and 16 alleles each. So they are pretty informative for the population level analyses that we do. So after the PCR work, we can then genotype our samples and then move on to population level analyses. So moving right into that data, I'd like to just mostly talk about one statistic, the FST value, which will tell us about differences and similarities between two population groups, and that gives us information about gene flow between the groups, because increased gene flow means you're going to have a more homogeneous mixture of your populations. So that would be a low FST value, meaning more gene flow and more similar populations. And in this slide, I'd like to point out a few numbers. We can see our captive colony values. From 2004 to 2005, we have an FST value of 0.23, and then in the following year's comparison of 05 to 06, that number is decreased to 0.05, meaning that the 05 and 06 captive colonies are more genetically similar than the previous year. We think that this is due to the fact that we were allowed a greater sampling ability of the genetic material from Bahiahana State Park. We're able to infuse more of that into our captive colony. And so again, this gives us pointers about how to continue the genetic management in this program. All of our allelic frequencies are relatively similar in the several years we've been monitoring the captive colony. And again, this bodes well for our management scheme. In comparison, the next comparison I'd like to show is between the captive colony and the wild colony of Bahiahonda State Park. So in 2005, the captive colony and the Bahiahonda State Park colonies, again, are very similar with a low FST value of 0.061, and this number is even lower when we look at the 2006 values. It's 0.023. So this means that we were able to maintain even more of the genetic diversity in the 2006 groups than we were in 2005. So we have a very high genetic similarity between the wild population and what we are maintaining in the captive colony. And that in recent years, in 2006 and in the preliminary data I have for 2007, it appears that we're able to maintain even more genetic diversity than we had in earlier iterations of the captive colony. I would also like to point out, however, that unique alleles are found in both the Bahiahonda and the captive colony populations, and that we are continuing to monitor these and assess their relevance. Moving out of the lab and into the field, this is the island of Bahiahonda, the only place where the butterflies are found in the wild. And we'd like to see how gene flow occurs in this metapopulation structure. And again, this is all with the purpose of seeing how we can create sustainable populations of these butterflies in other areas of South Florida. So we'd like to see how gene flow occurs here. And I'd like to draw your attention to the south end colonies. This is where the majority of the population is found. It's where the population density is the highest. So in 2005, on the south end of the colony, we see, again, relatively low FST values, meaning there's a nice amount of gene flow between these habitat patches. The numbers are a bit higher when comparing them with the upper buttonwood population. But again, that is a little bit of a distance away, so not as many migrants make it to that population. In 2006, we saw the generation of new habitat patches throughout the island, which bodes well for the future of the butterfly here. And in comparing genetic samples for this group, we see that distance does not always correlate with FST values. So the silver palm area on the far eastern and northern portion of the island is very genetically different from other portions of the island, and we see areas like the main road population that may be an important stepping stone for gene flow to other populations. And again, the south end portion acting as a good source of genetic variability. And we see even lower FST values in 2006, meaning increased gene flow within the south end colonies. So in conclusion, we're confident that our captive colony is effectively capturing the genetic diversity of the Bahiahana State Park population, and that the individuals that we're producing there are genetically similar to wild individuals. So we're confident that our genetic management plan is effective and is capable of producing sound individuals for reintroduction. And a quick word about our reintroductions. We have reintroduced almost 1,600 larvae to Biscayne National Park as of now, actually. And there's some preliminary evidence that colonies are taking hold within the park. We have an additional site on the mainland where we're reintroducing adults, and we're assessing the efficacy of that technique. So only time will tell how effective our reintroduction efforts are, but we're confident that the genetics of this organism are being preserved. So with that, I'd really like to acknowledge my sponsors, the Cannon National Parks Science Scholars Program, the University of Florida Alumni Association, and all of the state and federal agencies that have contributed enormous support for this project, and my advisors Jarrett Daniels and Jacqueline Miller, as well as all my lab and field support. Thank you. Sure. Repeat the question.
Yes, okay. Please.
So the question was, what happened to all of the other populations of butterflies, and why is there one population on Bahiahanda that remains? We think it was a synergistic effect of habitat fragmentation, loss of habitat. Unfortunately, these butterflies really like expensive coastal real estate, and so a lot of that has disappeared in Florida. The state park where the butterflies are found is protected from development and other issues, and there is an artificial berm, actually. There's a slight elevation in the portion of the island, and we think that this protects the butterflies from some wind and other effects as well.